1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In this podcast, we explore those who went the wrong way. We examine how it happened, why it happened, and who it happened to. But most importantly, we always ask the question, could it happen to us? Thanks for joining us here on Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Before we begin, we want to be clear, the opinions that we present are ours alone and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of our respective churches or employers. Now, let's begin. Good evening, Matt. We are here again. It's, what is this, like October something. I know we're in October at this point. We're recording a week in advance. But we're here. It is fall. It is officially fall. And Jackie is already asking for pumpkin spice stuff.
Oh, well, I seen the parts store down there got some pumpkin spice brake pads already.
Right? Oh, it is.
But
it's everywhere.
So, I mean, y'all know I'm a basic white girl anyway. I done been to Starbucks, had my pumpkin spice chai latte.
Surely not. But really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Matt.
Oh yeah. So listen, I'm also a Southern boy, and I subscribe to the almost Taoism of sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. But this time of the year, I transition from sweet potato pie to pumpkin pie.
To pumpkin pie.
And I've not yet found me some pumpkin pie, but I'm on the lookout for the pumpkin pie.
Oh, there was somewhere that I ate just the other day that had pumpkin pie. I don't remember, but whenever I think of it, I'll text you and let you know.
Well, so in other news, we have a new HEB store just opened up in Plano, not too far from us.
We do?
Yeah. I'm excited they may have some pumpkin pie. No, I hadn't been over there that way yet. I said that to say something else, but it totally left my mind here. That wasn't my headlining story I was going to share. Goodness gracious.
That's all right. I'm sure that we've got plenty to talk about.
Yes. We have an interesting subject this week.
Yeah. So it is October. You know, we had said that we would kind of bring some more Halloween themed content. So we're going to start out this month talking about witches.
Witches.
Specifically, Wicca. And all that it contains, presupposes, identifies as, all sorts of things.
Oh, identifies as. That's a good way to put that, actually. That's actually a pretty good way to think about that. You know, we in this podcast, we talk about, you know, cults. That's a big thing. But we talk about, you know, faith, frauds, and falsehoods. And so we're going to talk about lots of things. And one thing that we always talk about is we come to this from the perspective as Christians. You and I don't 100% agree on everything in our Christian faith, but we have a lot of things that we very much agree on. And we come from that perspective. We have some similar and some different backgrounds in our Christian faith. And one of the things that I know we agree on is that witchcraft exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wiccan, the folks who practice Wicca also agree on such a thing. They consider themselves witches. But not necessarily the way it's portrayed in the movies, right? Just like Catholics aren't necessarily how they're portrayed in the movies, right?
Absolutely.
So we both done some digging and stuff here, and I guess let's dive in. Where do we want to start? Start at the very beginning. I went back to the Heaven's Gate.
I was going to say, that's jumping way back to Heaven's Gate at this point.
Yeah.
It took me a second to think about which episode we did that in. So Wicca was hard. It was hard to dig into simply because it's so diverse, right? Across continents, across communities within countries. It's just, there's not a centralized tenet of faith, right? They don't have, you know, the Nicene Creed that Christians have, right? That says, this is what all Wiccans believe. So it's hard. It is hard to dig in and find, it's hard to find a few enough things to talk about. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, how do you find enough things to talk about? But in this case, there is so much that we could talk about to find just those few things that we can really dig in on. It's tough.
So let's start with a little bit of a disclaimer on that. As I mentioned, our perspective that we approach these things, as we know, in the real world, your perspective is going to change how you look and view things and how you understand stuff. And you know, our perspective, our culture we've grown up in, and our backgrounds and things. And Wicca makes this especially hard for me, and I know it does for you, because one of the things we share is that we very much enjoy learning about the foundations of our faith. And I think that both of us share a love for some sort of structure and placement of things. And when you look at something like Wicca, where everything is so, it's everything and nothing all at once, right?
Right.
It makes it kind of hard to comprehend. You know, I read through a couple of things about it, and they seem to have an answer for everything and an answer for absolutely nothing, because all the answers are different. So I said, I was going to disclaimer here. Let me just disclaimer that we're going to get some stuff probably a little wrong here. There's probably going to be some stuff absolutely that we didn't cover because we didn't know about. We put in some effort and some research. We both put in more notes than we have in probably many other episodes. Y'all, I very rarely put in much notes, and Brian read my notes earlier. He's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet at the same time, I feel like we were only going to scratch the surface. You could spend a lot of time studying this, but I will tell you that personally, I have a motivation because I want to know more about other people's faiths and beliefs and things. But I also am not super motivated to know every single detail, because I almost don't want to fill up too much of my own brain with it, if that makes any sense. It sounds a little selfish to say so, but I feel like I have limited capacity sometimes, and I don't want to fill all my capacity. I've got a whole book here of spells. And if you notice in my book notes, I didn't put anything about spells in there. I mean, yeah. I put that they exist, but not about all the different parts of the spells and stuff. Because I just don't know that I have the capacity for all that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a danger, you know, that we as Christians face every day, right? You know, we have to make the conscious choice of what we're going to take in, right? What are we going to listen to? What are we going to read? What are we going to focus on every day? You know, Paul tells us to meditate on the good, right? You know, so we have to make that choice to make sure that we're focusing in the right places, while at the same time being able to say, okay, let's take a look and see what Wiccans believe. How can we as Christians reach out to the Wiccan community, right? As we get into the theology in the next episode, Matt will probably make fun of me because I wrote some stuff in Greek.
I noticed that.
You gotta have it in the right language. But there's a lot that as Christians, if we want to be able to reach out to people, you cannot assume what they know, right? Or what they think. You know, I struggle in my job quite a bit with making assumptions.
Let me add here. There's a disclaimer on the beginning of this episode. Brian and I both work in the church world and or work for churches. And our views and stuff here do not express the views of our employers or our churches that we work for.
Of course. Yeah. And this is one of those areas. If you're trying to talk to someone and explain to them the gospel, you know, who Christ is, what he did, and what he expects of us, you don't need to assume that you know anything about what they think. You should start at the very beginning. And this is the very beginning for a lot of people looking at Wicca as Christians. It's not the very beginning for me, but it's pretty close to the beginning. I've not really dug into it near as much as I should have.
Well, and I want to... I've heard preachers preach in the past about, you know, be careful what you bring in. Heck, I think I've got some notes and a couple of sermons I've written myself on garbage in, garbage out, and being careful what you consume, you know?
Absolutely.
However, I do want to frame this, that we are in no means anti-academic or anti-education on this, you know? We do very much believe, which is part of the reason we do this podcast, in learning about these other things. But it just can't be your central thing all the time. You know, you can get yourself off on this. I don't want to call it dangerous. Anything you obsess over can be dangerous. And sure. I will tell you one thing that Wicca offers to its followers is lots and lots of complexity if they want it, or absolutely no complexity if they want it. It offers both. And looking at different people on YouTube and different stuff, I've seen both in that. There are some who are very much into lots of complexity in that as a religion, and some are into very much no complexity in it at all, but some spiritualism to kind of meet. They're looking to meet a spiritual need. And it reminds me of the old sermons I've heard so often. There's a God-shaped hole in everybody's heart, you know? And we laugh about that. It's kind of quaint, but I'm not saying it's inaccurate either. People have a need for a relationship with their creator. And I think this seeks to fill that. And human beings, this kind of reaches back to, it comes to so many things. It reaches back to that human beings have been reaching back to try to fulfill that need for, you know, a couple thousand years now. Thousands of years. And so, all right. So do we want to start at we're talking all about it, but we hadn't actually started at the beginning yet. Yeah. So where's the beginning for Wicca?
The contemporary interpretation of Wicca, right? Really did begin as a unique religion in the 1940s, 1950s. So very early, mid 20th century. Gerald Gardner was the one who kind of started laying out the basis of Wicca as it is known for the most part today.
He called it witchcraft. He didn't necessarily call it Wicca at the time. And I think it's important to know that he kind of started this in the late 30s and then developed it into, it was a book, right, that he published in the 50s?
Yes. That's in 1949, he wrote, or he published, obviously he'd probably been writing it for the year prior. You don't generally write a book in a year, but 1949, he wrote a novel, High Magic's Aid, which was right prior to the official formulation of Wicca.
But he says he was inducted into a coven before that.
Yep, in 1939 is when he claims that.
And the reason I'm bringing that up is that was 1939 in Great Britain. And as we know, 1939 in Great Britain, there was a lot of turmoil, a lot of change happening.
For sure.
World War II, they were being bombed. You know, our country was drastically changed in World War II. We sent a lot of people to war. But with the exception of the attack in Hawaii, we didn't have any attack on our shores.
Right.
Great Britain was having bombings.
Nightly.
Yeah. And we should mention this guy was pretty eccentric already. I've read conflicting accounts that either he was a member or he owned a nudist naturist resort colony. And
okay, I didn't find that information.
Yes, yes, and he was used to doing weird things in the nude with groups of other people. And that was part of this. All of a sudden, he says he stumbled across these people and they inducted them into their coven. And then later he wrote this book and he inducted other people that was in his nudist community into this. And they did a lot of rituals and stuff. And that's a common theme in some. It's hard to pin anything down in Wicca, but it's a common theme in some Wicca traditions is to perform ceremonies and stuff in the nude.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, he drew on a lot of the traditional high ritual magic. Really drew a lot from Aleister Crowley, you know, from the late 1800s. Who, for those that don't know who Aleister Crowley was, he was the founder of contemporary Satanism.
But we should mention that most Wiccans don't believe in any sort of Satan character.
Right.
They believe in an occult thing.
They remove the duality entirely.
But even Aleister Crowley's Satanism is not what most of Christianity thinks of as Satan.
Right.
And what most people from movies think of as Satanist. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily worshiping the deity of Satan.
Right. Now, there are Luciferians out there that do. Right?
Yes.
But it falls into that same category as the rest of Wicca. Right. The rest of most paganism. It varies so much between group and group. There's not really a particular thing that we can pinpoint.
Right. And so a lot of Wiccans, some trace the start of Wicca back to this. Some say it's existed forever. Mm-hmm. And there's been witches and pagans. And we know there were pagans back in Bible times. Paul discusses the pagans. And they say they trace their origins back to that. And it's really more about Mother Nature and worship of that. And there were witch hunts that happened in Great Britain and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Different parts of Christianity, the Catholic Church and the Puritans are the most well known, but there were other parts also that conducted witch hunts and, you know, people were accused of practicing witchcraft and were killed. And so they make a connection back to that. So a lot of scholars say it was kind of a manufactured religion, kind of pieced together of some old paganism practices and stuff. But there are others who say, well, you know, that's where we come from. You know, in my own, as a Baptist, you know, we can scout back to where we came off of the old Catholic Church. But a lot of Baptists, you know, actually trace back to the shores of Galilee. So it's kind of how you look at it sometimes.
Yeah.
I subscribe to Shores of Galilee, by the way.
I was going to say, was it you and me or me and Ted that talked about there's a church in Tennessee that claims apostolic succession all the way back to the Apostle John for this particular church. So that's pretty interesting. They're a Baptist church there in Tennessee. Nope.
That does sound interesting.
Right? You know, one thing that we have to... that I have to point out, right, is a lot of these practices, right, these rituals... are contemporary postmodern ideas of what worship ritual should be, right? There's not, to my knowledge, any surviving documents from, you know, Norse pagan religion, Celtic pagan religion, etc., that describes how ritual was performed, right? There are some documents, honestly, mostly written by Christians, that explain these pagans were worshiping Thor, or these pagans were worshiping, you know, some other druidic god, right? But no explanations as to how the rituals were being performed. So when we say that these neo-pagans... Wiccans, etc., are worshiping the same deities that their ancestors, who Paul would have talked about, were worshiping. Yes, they're probably worshiping the same deity, but they're probably not following the same kind of rituals.
Yeah, there wasn't a very good succession or documentation right. of that stuff.
And
that's happened even since 1954 to today, when there's been much more better documentation, because mm-hmm. Wicca is such an open thing, everything and nothing all at once.
Right.
There are different things. I don't want to jump ahead, but when we get to who they worship. So right. in some of Wicca, I don't know if you call it traditional Wicca or what, they worship a god deity and a goddess deity. And some of Wicca, which is probably one of the more common, they worship a goddess alone. And then in some, one of these books I had talks about angelic Wicca. They acknowledge there's a god and goddess kind of, but they don't worship them. They worship the angels. And they consider angels not to be beings made from God, but to be their own sort of created beings. They have angels and guides. And most of their stuff is speaking to and communicating with the angels. And then guides are actually reincarnated people, spirit guides.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So come back for episode 2 on Wicca, where we dig into angelic Wicca, because I didn't find anything on angelic Wicca. So I think I'm going to have to do some research between now and the time that we record that.
Oh, most of what I found was on angelic Wicca.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Interesting.
This will be fun. Yeah.
Theology's That's what I'm saying. Great. It's so different. I mean, how you just change your main deity?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and still consider yourself to be Wicca. You know, that's one of the big core things of Christianity is we have the Nicene Creed that lays out the bare minimum to be considered Christian. They don't have that in Wicca. Now, they do have a couple of books that Gardner wrote in 54 and 59, where he talks about the quote-unquote surviving ancient religion, right? Where he talked about how Wicca was, you know, it's always been going on in Great Britain, and this is just the rediscovery of it, et cetera, et cetera. And they did, in 1974, they called it a Council of American Witches. It was, I don't know if council's the right word, a group of witches, Wiccan covens, got together and said, these are the 13 basic beliefs of Wicca. But
back in that 70s again, you know, we've talked so many times about all the religious stuff that was happening in the 70s.
Yep. Yeah, the 70s were an interesting time for religion.
So there's no central organization of, like, you know, popes or bishops or conventions or any of that sort of stuff. As a matter of fact, they're loosely arranged into covens,
mm-hmm.
and that there are groups of witches who get together and form covens. But there's no prescribed procedure to how you exactly have to do that. They do that differently in different places. And not everyone is part of a coven. There are many who are individual practitioners whose only connection to others are through books they've read or things on the internet.
See, and that's where things get real interesting with Wicca. Because Wicca was originally intended to be an initiatory religion. Right? So you came in through some sort of ritual initiation, right? Like Christianity and baptism, right? You come in through baptism.
Well, like the Crips and the Bloods, jump in, jump out.
exactly, yeah. But in the 70s, late 60s, a man named Alex Sanders kind of changed some things, and that's when Wicca began to really spread, right? Really take root. And then the two Gardnerian and Alexandrian Wiccas were joined by Vivian Crowley in the 80s, and things just kind of exploded, right? You kind of lost the whole initiatory requirement. You just kind of could say, oh, I'm a Wiccan witch, I'm a Wiccan priestess, I'm a Wiccan priest, whatever the word you want to choose. And it just kind of was, right? You read a book, you did some things, chanted to a demon. There you go.
Well, and we'll mention that they don't have a whole prescribed thing of prophetizing necessarily.
Right.
They're not trying to make other people be Wiccans. They really don't reach out like that. But people seem to seek them out. People are looking for an answer, and they have all the answers. Because so many people just say whatever, and it kind of just fits in. It's hard for me to take this seriously when they're so far all over the place.
Right.
Now let me say, some individuals and groups are very, 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 very specific about things. You know, one of the things they do is they do actual worship with an altar and laying certain things on the altar. And different groups have a different way they lay out those things. And that's very specific and very particular. I did a whole section of notes just about the altar. Now, that's an angelic Wicca. But they even mentioned in that that translates to the other versions as well, the other traditions. So some things they're very specific about, but it's like there's no, oh, well, if you can't do it that way, you know, hey, you should really heat up a cauldron and mix these things in, but if you need to use your microwave, go ahead.
Right.
If you can't get Eye of Newt, then, you know, order it off the internet or just write Eye of Newt on a piece of paper and throw that in there.
Yeah.
And none of those were exaggerations. Those were all real examples, by the way. They're very, very accommodating. And since they are so accommodating, one thing that has kind of gotten tied up in this, it's not a huge part of the feminism movement in the United States, but it has been a part of it.
Yeah.
With Wiccas, some part of Wicca, you know, really does a lot of worship of the goddess. When I first heard of Wicca back a long time ago, it was worship of the goddess is what I heard about at that time. And that's become popular in some feminist circles. It's kind of almost an empowerment, a rage against the paternity, right. What's the word? Patriarchy. You know? And again, y'all, we're going to look at these things as our perspective, and we're not feminists at all. We both hold fairly conservative, you know, gender views and things and societal roles in that. We're probably part of the patriarchy, I guess. But
when I go to an Orthodox church, we have specific patriarchs.
Well, true. So my point is our perspective on this.
Yeah.
I'm not casting it as necessarily bad, but there's definitely a feminist part of Wicca. It's a very common thing. And we've mentioned some of the, you know, founders being men, but there's actually been quite a few women who have done quite a few things in Wicca. And if you were to get your average Wiccan follower, it's probably a female.
Yeah.
There are males and females, but it's predominantly female. I think some people have been attracted to it because they find that there's so much choice. They find that there's so much spiritualism to it. They try to fill that hole in there of being spiritual about stuff and doing, you know, ceremony. And I think part of the reason it's so popular in Britain and the United States is because our predominantly Christian things there have less ceremony. You know, we do less and less of that.
Yeah, for the typical Christian church in America, at least, you know, I mean, the Church of England is pretty liturgical as it is.
Yes, but the people are very uninterested in the Church of England.
True.
Great Britain is at this point mostly post-Christian.
Yeah.
So when they find something like this, it seems almost like a secret power. And, you know, if you're a feminist and you feel as if you're oppressed, I could see the attraction to having powerful. Well, okay, mm-hmm. I'm oppressed and, you know, all these things in society are against me, but I'm a witch. I can talk to the spirits and I can get things done. I mentioned those spells. I was reading about one who was talking about, she says spells for where she wants a good parking spot. Things like that. And mentioned said, you know, if you're going to do a spell, you got to do it with purpose and really believe it and everything. But they use spells for all kinds of stuff. It's real common to use spells for fertility or for matchmaking and love and that sort of stuff. Their worship is in using spells, and that's also how they have power, you know, where we might turn to prayer for things and, you know, sincerely believe that our prayer makes some supplication to God, some effect on his what he does. They use spells to guide whatever spirits they're worshiping and ask them to do things for them.
Yeah, we could have probably a whole episode just on idolatry. But one of the biggest differences between idolatry and Christianity, right, is the idea that I do this thing, therefore this deity must respond, right? Must do what I've asked, right? Or told it to do, right? I'm in charge, right? The deity does what I tell it to because I did the things that it told me to.
Right.
Whereas Christianity, it's I ask God for help, but I accept the no, right? God has the choice to follow through or not. And when you begin to, and I know we're kind of getting more into theology side of things, but we'll get there, right? Just follow along, people. Just follow along. It'll be all right. When you get to this idea that everyone is a part of deity or divinity, and therefore everyone can affect universal processes and nature around them, right, to succumb to what they want, that's idolatry. That's exactly the definition of idolatry. So
you're saying we would see Wicca as idolatry because that's basically what Wicca is about.
Absolutely.
They're 100%. Not necessarily worshiping a god or goddess so much as they are asking the god or goddess to do things, or in case of the angelic Wicca, asking the angels to do things.
Yep. Which, you know, they're doing that through worship, right? But their goal in worship is control.
Yeah.
Right? Not submission.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
As a matter of fact, whether it's angelic or with the god and goddess or just the goddess, there's a concept of not so much good and evil, but somewhat good and evil, dark and light, good and bad. They really try to shy away from the evil thing because there's such a negative connotation of witches as being devil worshippers, and they don't believe in a devil. But they do believe that people can be... can make bad decisions and do make bad decisions, and that there are spirits that are people, that's the guides, who can make bad decisions and do bad things. And so that a lot of what they do is to try to, a lot of them, you know, cast themselves as white witches or good witches and not the bad ones, but there are bad ones and you can easily summon the bad stuff. And I think that's where Christianity coincides a little bit or crosses over a little bit, because in Christianity, there is, you know, the Bible discusses there are spiritual things that we should stay away from.
Absolutely.
And, there are demons. And I think, this is Matt injecting his opinion here, but I think that what they're discussing as angels are probably actually demons, and they probably really are dealing with spiritual things.
100%. Yep,
and
I agree.
They think there's good and bad in those spiritual things, but from my understanding of the Bible, if it's an angel, then you really know it's an angel. And there's a lot of demons that are roaming the earth. And I think that's what they're playing with here. And that scares me, which is another thing that makes me not want to learn too much. Like, I don't want to be ignorant, but I also want to, like, ooh, let's stay away from that a little bit. Is that good for me to even mess with that? Like, I may read the book about how to do things, but I am not about to set up an altar in here.
Oh, of course not. No. Yeah.
I think that would be inviting to mess with things that I think I could absolutely be protected by through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I absolutely am not going to go test that and mess with it because the Lord's got a better purpose for me.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like the more we talk about Wicca stuff, we keep talking, or at least I keep going back into talking about Christianity. And I think a lot of Wicca stuff kind of sees itself as the counterbalance to Christianity, you know? As Christianity spread through the world, it was kind of going through the pagan religions.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really the first group that we've talked about that has been a super stark contrast from traditional Christianity, right? So we have to keep going back and saying, this is how true Christianity perceives these things, right? Talking about Tony Alamo, right? He used the Bible and he talked about these things and he just misinterpreted what they were.
Right. And we did point out those misinterpretations.
Mm-hmm. These are pagans worshiping deities that are not God, right? I could probably spend our whole 3 hours of recording just talking about where these deities came from, right? You know, so there's so much there, and that's not what this podcast is, right? As much as I would love to sit and talk about, you know, the Tower of Babel and Deuteronomy and all of these things, that's not what we're supposed to be doing.
So,
but it is important.
It is important. So let's take a small commercial break here. We don't have any commercials, but commercials. Let's take a small commercial.
We're giving
break
commercials.
Right here. And
if you want to sponsor us, this is where your commercial will go.
Yes, we'll be right back after a message from our sponsors.
Oh, hey, look, a promo. Guess this is a new thing. Did you know that listening to us is not the only way to find out about these groups? We put all of our notes in the form of a blog with references on a webpage for each episode. We know what it's like to listen to someone talk about something and be unsure of exactly where they got that information. We want you to be sure that you can always go back and find exactly what we found and read it for yourselves. Plus, it's a great place to leave comments and feedback on various groups, and maybe, just maybe, one of these days, a place that we can pick up some cool merch. Come and check it out at faithfraudsfalsehoods.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back. Wow, wasn't that a cool commercial? We haven't sold any commercials and probably aren't going to, so I don't know what we're going to insert in that area there, but we need to take a quick break, and we are back. Listen, I buy that Burl shave cream myself. It is good stuff.
I will find something to stick in there. How's that sound?
Yeah. Listen, good for breakfast every morning. Feed it to the cat. Put it in my car. It helps me get to work every day. And it makes me money.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got this marketing scheme. It is triangle shaped. In the old days, it's not a pyramid. It's only a 2D, so it's just a triangle. So, awesome. It's good stuff. So let's go back to Wicca here.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going along on our timeline here on Wicca. We talked about the 80s. What do we got next coming up here, Brian?
Yeah, the 80s brought Vivian Crowley in, where she kind of joined the two British Wiccas into a... not really centralized, but a more coherent whole. It's probably a good way to put it.
Now, was she any relation to Alistair?
I looked. I did. I dug. I couldn't find any confirmative. Is that the right word?
Doesn't sound right.
I was going to say, I couldn't find any confirmation that she was, right?
There you go.
I couldn't find anything that said she wasn't. But given the last name and the fact that both are part of occultic groups,
I will say that it's very common there. In occult groups and in Wicca and things to pick different names that you practice mm-hmm. under to kind of change your name.
Yeah. Which that happens in Islam and Eastern Christianity as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we'll get into the quote unquote Christian heritage of Wicca in the theology section. So come back. That's going to be a lot of fun. That was a fun book to read. So in 1967, you know, I know we're jumping back a little bit. Raymond Buckland was a Wiccan priest who brought Wicca to the U.S., right? He brought specifically Gardnerian Wicca, right, which was kind of the original Wicca, right?
Very popular with the whole hippie set.
Right.
Well, it was very popular. It was known in the hippie set. Wicca has never been a super popular religion. Like, it's never been a majority of the religious anywhere, right?
Oh, yeah, of course not. Yeah. No, it's always been a minority. But it's becoming a substantial minority, right? And that's part of the reason that we opted to say, let's chat about Wicca this week. You know, there's enough there, right, to justify being at least somewhat knowledgeable of what Wicca is, where it comes from, where it's going, and what it leads to.
Yeah, it's hard to judge how many people are members of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 1996, a poll in Britain found between 110 and 120,000 self-identified pagans, right? And of those, only 10,000 were initiated Wiccans.
And so, that's people who would answer the survey to say they were such, which right. They're more likely in Britain, even in the 90s, than here in the United States.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
But still, that's people who answered the survey and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so it's still like not that accurate.
Right, yeah. It's not, I mean, it's a large enough sample size that we can probably calculate.
It's probably larger than most of the groups we've talked about.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think the largest group that we've talked about so far was People's Temple, and that was 1,250 people at the end.
At the end, but yeah.
You know, so this is, I mean, we're talking about thousands of people. And in Great Britain in 96, 10,000 people would be 0.5% of the population.
Yeah, that's fairly significant.
I mean, that's a significant number when you're talking about anything religious, right? They have a voice, or they should have a voice. Now, those numbers today are probably significantly higher. For those that would claim Wicca, but whether or not they fit the initiated category is completely different.
Right, that's because of the diversity of how did they join. Like, they didn't...
Exactly.
Yeah, there's people who say to join, be Wiccan, you got to go join a coven that's there and to spin off covens from covens. But honestly, there is no strict organization of such things.
Right. And in the 90s, we saw that huge push of the quote-unquote teen witch phenomenon, right? And I don't know if you remember the movie, like, The Craft, mm-hmm. right? Or Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or Charmed, which I guess Charmed was probably more early 2000s, but might have been, like, 98, 99.
Well, yeah. And that was coming off of the whole satanic scare thing.
Right.
In the early 90s of, oh, there's these Satanists out here that want to eat our babies and kidnap mm-hmm. our children and they're going to brainwash us. I don't know how much of that was actually real, but it started becoming part of the popular culture.
Yeah.
And it definitely made the news a lot. And then that kind of morphed into, okay, now we're kind of making fun of it by having it on TV. But then we kind of, stuff like The Craft, we kind of perpetrated a little bit. And right. it got real popular in like the teenage group. Mm-hmm. And that's because, you know, you want to rebel, right? So teenagers are kind of going to go to a counterculture thing.
Yep.
I don't know how much you grew up in a counterculture, but I very much grew up in a counter subculture thing with the whole geek thing and stuff.
I was too busy doing other things like playing video games.
Well, I mean that's a culture of its own back when we were younger. Nowadays, right. to be a geek is popular and everybody wants to be that. But you know, when I was in school, I was involved more in the whole gothic stuff and stuff, which is where I ran across some of this Wiccan.
I could see you with the black mascara. And
I absolutely did. Painted my fingernails. Wore all black. I mean, I got away with as much as I could get away with being gothic, you know. But that's kind of where my friends were at and stuff, you know. And not that coming to Christ made me necessarily change all that, but kind of, like you said, I got distracted by other things. When I came to Christ mm-hmm. at 18. And at some point I had to get a job.
Yep.
But even then I've always been a part of that kind of subculture of black t-shirt and jeans at the very least, with the geek subculture, right?
Yeah.
I always joke now that I have to dress for work and wear collared shirts and stuff, but I always want to default to how I've dressed since I was 13 with black shoes and a black shirt, you know? But yeah, so it got real popular in culture. Like, we had this whole satanic scare thing, but then kind of the dabbling in witchcraft became popular mm-hmm. with teenagers and young adults and stuff. And it was kind of also a pushback on Christianity. And that's where our country is kind of pushed away from Christianity in popular culture. And I'm not saying the majority of them moved to Wiccan, but some people did. And communication became easier. We had the rise of the internet.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I found an article that's just a list of, if you want to learn about Wicca, these are the websites that you should go to, right? And it's just website after website after website after website with, you know, kind of an abstract summarization of the site.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, back during that same time is whenever I joined the Church of the Subgenius. We should cover that one sometime.
Nice.
It's a fake church, sort of. But yeah, there was more popularity. People could share their ideas, and people use that opportunity to do so. Especially right. people who spent a lot of time by themselves. And that time, people who did communicate that way, the internet wasn't in everybody's home back then. It was in a lot of people's homes, but it wasn't in everybody's homes.
Yep.
And a lot of the people who were on the internet and had the resources and inclinations and stuff to do that spent a lot of time to themselves, and they reached out through the digital ways to make communities.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the earlier communities were about stuff like this. I've told you before about, you know, the occult aisle in Books A Million being full of people, you know?
Right. Yep.
And that's, you know, I went to go look for books for this and went over and I was looking for, I went to the religious section where I've been shopping for, you know, the last 20 years now, and it was right. not in the religious section. And so I had to go ask somebody, where's the stuff about Wicca? And apparently there's a whole nother section about spirituality mm-hmm. and things, which I apparently never go to because I've always looked for the books on Christianity.
Right. Yep. Yeah. At half price, they're right next to each other though. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, Barnes and Noble, they're an aisle away from each other.
Ah, yep.
It was labeled something weird. It wasn't labeled spirituality. It was labeled, I think it was, spiritual connection or something. It wasn't what I was thinking. I was looking for religious stuff. So I was looking at religions. And I found Christianity and some Jewish stuff and some Muslim stuff or Islamic stuff. But I didn't find anything about Wicca and occult and things. But that was over in the spirituality thing.
Well, you know, I mean, as it's gotten cheaper to produce books, right? You know, from the birth of the press, right, in the 1500s, late 1400s, right, making books has always been getting cheaper and cheaper.
Yes. Right?
You know, you and I could sit down and we could write a book right now, right? We could write a book tonight before we go to bed and throw it up on Amazon for $0. It would cost us absolutely nothing to throw it as an ebook on Amazon, sell it for $1.99, advertise it, and make a whole bunch of money.
Well, right? Assuming people bought it and we could write anything.
If we advertise it right, people will go and buy it. It'll be all right. Yeah. You know,
but we can same, even, if we want a printed book, we could publish that and we pay for the printed books as they're printed. They're printed on demand and shipped out.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So it's even possible as a printed book to have that sent out, but it's the technology now. So you're right. It is developed and it's gotten so fast. Uh-huh. And even in the 90s, printing had just gotten cheaper.
Right.
Yeah, quite printing as easy as it is today, but it was cheaper than it was in the 60s.
Oh, for sure. And so we saw this rapid proliferation of texts and manuals and necronomicons and books and rituals and spells and et cetera, because one, it's what everyone was looking for, right? Because everyone has been looking for that spiritual filling, right, that we all thirst for. But two, it's what everyone was buying. It was the 90s. Everyone was loving Sabrina, right? I mean, who didn't love Melissa Joan Hart when she was younger, or even now?
Well, right? Again, I should mention our perspectives. We were teenage boys at the time.
Of course. So of course.
Let's look at that. But yeah, but she was portrayed as the good witch.
Right.
She came from a history of witches, and she was a mm-hmm. good witch. It was not a eating little children right. in the oven type witch. She wasn't yep. even a Wizard of Oz where they had the bad witch and the good witch and the wicked witch and yep. the good witch. She was
just a teenage girl that happened to be a witch.
Right. And yep. even in the 60s, they had shows about that with not I Dream of Jeannie, but Bewitched.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Kind of the same sort of concept. Sabrina the Teenage Witch was nothing but Bewitched in the more modern times as a teenager right. instead of a housewife.
Yep. Yep. I haven't watched Bewitched in a long time.
It's a good
that
show.
That was a good show. It was a very good show.
Yeah.
for what it was very good. But you know, so everyone was in love with this idea of the good witch, right? So everyone was going out and buying these books. So publishers were like, we can capitalize on this, right? And so they sold and produced more books, right? Which over the last 30 years, that's crazy to think about that it's been that long. But 30 years, right? More and more people have gotten drawn in to full-fledged Wicca, not just the cultural idea of witchcraft. And so more and more books are being produced that draw that that focus in more specifically to Wicca.
And I also think as our culture has changed, we had a lot of people who identified as Christians in the United States, and we have less and less. Every year they do the polls, we get less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of, I don't know if it's the word theologians, a lot of people who study this sort of thing do not believe that we actually have less Christians. We just have less people who are afraid to answer they're not a Christian on the survey. Used to, you were a Christian because your grandma was a Christian and your grandpa was a Christian and your mama and daddy were Christians. And you might even go to church or you might not, but y'all identified. Of course, we're God-fearing Christians. We're Americans. But we have a culture where that is okay to not be a Christian. It's a culture mm-hmm. where it's okay to not be. And I know that some Christians disagree that that's a good thing. I happen to think it is, but I think it's actually a spiritual awakening, not a spiritual going to sleep for us. But we have more people who are comfortable looking outside of Grandpa's Christianity. They may not have connected or had a spiritual relationship to Grandpa's church, but they're comfortable looking into other things now. And like I said, they kind of want to fill that void. So Wicca is an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
where it may not have been an opportunity for that same person. Wicca has some connections to the LGBTQ community, the same sort of thing. It was very not good in popularity if you were, you know, you were a gay man in 1942, you probably didn't tell anybody you were a gay man. In 1962, right. You might tell somebody if you were in the right parts of the country. But in 2022, it's very, you're a gay man. Okay. It's very right. popular. There are way yeah. more people publicly saying that than there ever was. And I think the same thing happens here as people are looking for other alternatives to Christianity. And then we've even turned a tide where I think it's almost unpopular to be Christian. It's almost like, oh, you're a Christian? Sure. Well, yeah. And they're not even considering it, but they consider something else. And so I think just the openness to other things has caused mm-hmm. a rise in Wicca.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're standing at the precipice of where does Christianity go from here, right? You know, I know this is supposed to be a podcast about Wicca, but you know, how do we as Christians continue to do the right thing in the midst of so many people abandoning Christianity? Right. I know people, right? I know people that were in my youth group, right? Both my youth group that I was a part of and youth group that I taught, right? That have abandoned Christianity.
Deconstructed. Right? Because
they have just broken down and said, this is not where I am. This is not where culture is. This is not me. This is not what I want. And I don't think any of them have gone so far as finding something like Wicca, right? But they would definitely fall into that category of saying, no, I don't think I'm a Christian.
Yeah, and I think some people do go that far. I mean, in my own life, I think that I've experienced some of that same thing, but I think I've kind of gone the other direction. And I'm almost more excited to go into Christianity than to away from it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want more of a relationship with Jesus and less of a relationship with my church, you know? And I think there are people going that direction too. And so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I agree.
Where are we at history-wise? Or go ahead. Go ahead on that part.
I was going to say, I think history-wise, we have reached contemporary times, right? I know that there are probably some more things that have happened throughout the history of Wicca, right? You said in the very beginning, right, we're not claiming to know everything about Wicca, right? Because there is so many variables in Wicca. Right. It's not like Jim Jones where we can go and read his entire biography from the day he was born to the day he died.
Right.
And follow that path. This splintered into so many different variations and variables that the most that we can reliably do historically is pick out the core things that we know happened, like the founding by Gardner, Alex Sanders making some changes, Vivian Crowley bringing some things together, and then the 90s where everything just exploded about witches, right? There's not a whole lot more that we can point out and say, this is Wicca, right? And the, so...
the altar to the unknown god.
Don't even get me started on that one. I'll be here for another hour.
That's kind of where it's gone to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The altar to the unknown god. You know, they say there's nothing new under the sun. This is the same sort of thing that Paul was dealing with in it's everything and nothing all at once, you know?
Right. Yep. Well, so I think unless you've got more to say on the history of Wicca, I think we're at a good stopping point. So our listeners can join us next week as we dig into some of the more theological topics around Wicca. And be forewarned, that might be a long episode. Because there's a lot of information there. Because there are a lot of variations.
Because there's a variation, yes, there's so much theological stuff. But you know what? It's going to be a fun episode. We're going to delve into a lot of things and a lot of beliefs. And I think it'll be a good thing. I think it'll be an interesting episode. So y'all come back now. You hear?
Thank you for joining us here on Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Don't forget that we have our website, faithfraudsfalsehoods.com, where we post a more detailed blog with references so that you can go and take a look at all of this information for yourself. Also, remember to share this with a friend and help us get the word out there for everyone else. We'll see you in the next one.